The pre-con, non-con resume is complete, and heading into this off week, idle week, improvement week, there's a lot to discuss heading into the Big Ten, start of Big Ten play. So let's do that with some updated stocks. This is the Stonk Watch on the beat with Austin and Berm.
Okay, I'm Berm.
He's Berm.
He's Austin.
I am Austin. We don't always do stocks all week, every week, but
no.
When you have a three-game body of work outside of the league, you got a chance to regroup. So next week, we won't do one.
Yeah, you're going to find out a lot about this team.
We probably will, because we'll be taking ones to watch for the Big Ten.
Never know. But we've got a really big stretch of games coming up for Ohio State, and we have data. We have 3 weeks of games. The season is already a quarter over, which is...
The
regular season is a quarter over, which is nuts. But what's also more nuts is that, like, it could go from being a quarter over to being, like, 8% over, depending on how long it goes. So it's...
Don't check the math on that.
I'm not good at math. I'm not here to do math. But I do think it's important that we add up all of the things we've seen in the last few weeks and try and formulate some new thoughts about guys that we've obviously talked about a lot for the last, year.
So let's do it this way, because I just realized we're definitely going to do a stock watch before Big Ten play next week. Hmm. So let's focus this one on guys who enhanced their stock the most in the first 3 weeks. Maybe that way there won't be as much crossover for next week's stock watch.
Okay, but we know a lot of these guys are pretty much the same players. That's the problem. I do want to start, if I may, with a player that has been unfairly overlooked, not because he's not playing really, really well, but because Arvel Reese is an alien. And that is
Sonny Styles,
who has played excellent football in the first 3 weeks.
I'm glad that you've decided to give him his full name.
He's playing really... Yeah, he's no longer Alex. He's Earn Sonny. He's playing really, really well. I think he was the Big Ten's highest-ranked linebacker last week by PFF. Like, the dude's playing good ball, but every week we're seeing Arvel Reese do something athletically that freaks you out, and you're like, oh, my gosh. And so when Sonny's just out there doing the solid work and making the plays, making the consistent plays, being where he's supposed to be, it's not maybe quite as sexy. It's not quite as, eye-popping. But, he's still the 6'4", 243-pound, 4'4", 38-inch vertical freak. And, from an NFL perspective, if we're talking who's changed their stock the most, because Arvel went from being an unknown to a first-round pick discussion in the eyes of most national people, not around here. We were talking about him as a first-round pick for the last 6 months. But with Sonny, I think there's a lot of, can he actually be a full-time linebacker? Because even a year ago where he's playing next to Cody Simon, there were times when athletically you're like, oh, he seems to really struggle in coverage or not really. He didn't seem physical enough. That is not the case right now. He is dominating, doing a lot of different things, seeing the versatility of having him and Arvel both being in edge rusher type situations. I think once he gets to the NFL, that's where Sonny's really going to excel. To me, the stock is way up on him. I'm not saying that he's going to be a Butkus finalist like I believe Arvel will be because of all of the splash plays and things that Arvel makes. But Sonny's playing great. And you couldn't do all the things you're doing with Arvel if you didn't have the rock in Sonny there to be the stabilizer. Does that make sense, America?
I think it's kind of crazy that for everything that you said and that you just get freaked out by watching Arvel, that isn't happening for some of America with Sonny.
Because he's not being asked to do all those same things.
I know, that's the
challenge.
I guess he is, in a lot of ways, I think, being taken for granted for how valuable he is. And the same thing happened to Cody Simon
because of
Sonny Styles. And so as I'm watching and keeping that in mind, for starters, again, it is worth reiterating what James Laurinaitis has done to elevate the recruiting profile and the development of the linebackers, that you can say Arvel Reese is here and he's suddenly blocking out the sun from someone as critical to Ohio State's success as Sonny Styles is wild. And then you have Peyton Pierce getting more involved every week. And we saw what Riley Pettijohn did in his first opportunity 2 weeks ago against Grambling.
Oh, there's Sonny.
Yeah. And
I did not plan this because he's standing over there.
I
didn't know he was over there.
I thought it might be the case because I did see Sonny over there. But that part is wild. So give credit to them. Also give credit to Arvel Reese and Sonny Styles for taking that coaching and the opportunity in front of them very seriously, and then understanding what Matt Patricia wants to do with them. All these things can then be true. It's a long-winded way of saying Sonny deserves a lot more attention that he's getting, and that's fine, because I don't think he wants that credit.
No, but there's also an unselfishness to his game and his personality that I think like deserves a little bit of like good job, because he could have gone into this season thinking, okay, I'm going to be an NFL guy next year. I need to be the splash player. I need to be the highlight guy. And I don't think he cares about that. He's just out there doing what he's supposed to do. He's in the right spot. He's making the routine play routinely. And he just has not been given the accolade that he deserves over the first 3 weeks. And that's because, again, nationally around the Big Ten, again, not in this building, nobody had really known what Arvel Reese was going to be, except for the people who have been in here. So I think it makes sense that people are talking about Arvel the way they do, because they're like, whoa. But like,
what are they doing?
We've already seen that. We knew that Sonny was just going to be the rock.
So the wheels are turning up here. It's a dangerous place to be.
Oh yeah.
I can't remember. It feels like we maybe had one conversation at some point where it's like, well, Sonny may now be doing some of the things that Cody did, because you have a full year body of work at linebacker. You're going to maybe putting the headset, the helmet communications on Sonny. He's going to be the captain of that defense. We've seen some of that. But if Sonny is the evolutionary version of Cody Simon, how can that also exist at the same time that Arvel was like this evolutionary version of Sonny? I don't.
Well, these are the things that Ohio State's doing. We talked about it a little bit on Snapchat.
Like worlds are colliding.
You've got all these parts, and I mentioned it on the Letterman Row message board on Sunday after watching Saturday's game. I said that I think it will be almost as difficult to replace what Jalen McClain does in this year's defense next year when you have to. When Jalen McClain takes over.
I think
over,
you caused some panic with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, when Jalen McClain takes over the Caleb Downs role next year, how do you replace Jalen, who's trying to replace an irreplaceable player in Caleb? But I think it might be harder to replace Jalen because he's really freaking good. So, like, it's fun. I mean, this is how it should be. Every year, new athletes are getting bigger, faster, stronger. And so that is the way it goes. It's the evolution.
So, you know.
The evolution will be televised.
It will be. You know what I like to do and not do when it comes to talking about true freshmen.
Yeah.
And I was probably even more reticent, definitely more reticent, let's put it that way, about Devin Sanchez and the ability to play than I got heading into the season for Jeremiah Smith a year ago.
Well, you came around on JJ eventually.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched him. By the end of spring practice, it was like, Ryan Day's like, well, you got to limit his reps. But that didn't happen.
And there's load management for a true freshman who's been here for 2 months.
Yeah.
Well, that's different.
But then, so that's in the mind. And I was open to the possibility that Devin Sanchez could do that. But the nature of that position, and then comparing where he was in spring to where Jeremiah was the year before, which is not fair, but that's just sort of the nature of where the conversation was. Like, okay, I'm not sure that I see that. And I'd say that Devin Sanchez was also self-scouting and very open about the fact that there were struggles in spring and it wasn't going to be as easy as maybe he anticipated. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him about that directly soon. But he met, not just going out there against Texas in the dime package and having one-on-one opportunities in an opener, that was eye-opening in itself. But there was a period on Saturday against Ohio where Lorenzo Styles goes down with a shoulder injury. Jermaine Matthews moves to the slot, and lo and behold, Devin Sanchez goes out there, and he is now the, you know, secondary outside corner next to Davison Igbinosin, or on the other side of the field. That I did not anticipate happening. Back in the spring, when we were speculating about what the nickel would look like, it's like, okay, you can move Jermaine Matthews in there, and Aaron Scott is giving you another option there. You could go with Bryce West in the nickel. He had, you know, good camps, good offseason. The choice that Matt Patricia, Matt Guerrieri, and Tim Walton made on Saturday, I don't think it should be dismissed for a variety of reasons. A, because Jermaine Matthews is willing and able to move into the slot, big deal. They chose to do that. But the reason, and the guy that they put in behind was Devin Sanchez. And so that, maybe that shouldn't be a surprise at this point because he'd been playing in the dime. He played against Texas. But that's now twice in the first three games that there have been high leverage opportunities and Devin Sanchez got those snaps. It's not not an NIL thing. It's not a you must play. Sometimes we have those conversations. You got to get them involved in the second game. These are moments of consequence in the first three games. I did not think that was going to happen, and feels like a rocket ship.
I thought maybe it would happen when he like signed. I didn't think it would happen at the end of spring, and now it's like, well, this is what's happening. And because we were unfortunately restricted to a lightning round with the defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia, on Tuesday, nobody really dove into that decision. And I would like to know, is that saying more about the trust in Devin Sanchez or more about the concern that somebody else is able to step up and fill Lorenzo Styles' role if he's not on the field?
I don't think it's concern because that is what they repped in spring.
But it was Aaron Scott.
Yeah, then. No. I mean with Jermaine, because that part didn't necessarily surprise me. I know that we talked about Bryce West, Miles Lockhart. You could incorporate Malik Hartford,
sure,
whatever, have Jalen McClain there. That part, that was almost 50-50 at the end of spring. We don't see all that as much of training camp as we do spring. But like when Lorenzo came out, Jermaine was getting all of those reps in spring. Maybe that in a month's time they could do something different. Yeah. But for right now, seeing Jermaine in the slot didn't come as a massive surprise to me. Seeing Devin Sanchez be the one that allowed that to happen was more notable.
It shouldn't be a huge surprise when five-star athletes do five-star things.
Yeah, I guess you're
right. This is who they are.
Do stars matter?
They do. It's not a knock on Aaron Scott, who is a very highly ranked player in his own regard. We have not seen Devin Sanchez in those moments like make big plays, but he hasn't made big plays that are bad either. So it's a nice steady climb. And I said it before the season, the conversation about Devin as like the Jeremiah Smith on defense was never going to be fair because Jeremiah Smith gets the football all the time.
Sure.
And so like the wide receiver, like you can make him a star. Devin Sanchez is not going to be a star unless people try to go his way and he makes a play. But like from an Ohio State perspective, they just have to be thrilled that he's physical enough to be out there. He's not shying down. Devin has never been shy on confidence at all. But now the opportunity to go out there and prove, hey, I belong, that's not going to slow down. Like, you know, there's been a ton of conversation in the last 10 days about Bo Jackson and his role. Devin is fortunate that he's not in a position where if he plays, it means something really bad for anyone else. It's just like, hey, you know, there's an opportunity to make the defense better if Jermaine Matthews is in the slot. It might be a better defense. Now, doesn't help, I think, what we saw later in the game on Saturday when they weren't in the dime situation and you just had Jermaine and Davison and then you had Malik Hartford out there at safety in Lorenzo's spot. We haven't seen Jermaine being put into that role like last year where we would see Jordan Hancock drop into the deep safety role. That does not appear to be as fully encompassing, mm-hmm, in the Jermaine Matthews moving to slot role does not seem to be quite as thorough, but when they're in the dime or nickel, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And also like stock up on Jermaine Matthews because I'll never miss an opportunity to grab some no matter the cost.
Yeah. And he's going to enjoy it. He's going to have a good time out there. So we'll see. I don't know that we should have expected. I don't want to talk too much about freshmen because they're still not going to, we still don't know what type of role a guy like Nate Roberts is going to have the rest of the season. Once Bennett Christian's back.
He's the starting fullback.
He is the starting fullback. That's clear. But once Bennett Christian is back against Washington, which Ryan Day said he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
The expectation obviously is that Lorenzo Styles will be as well. So don't know what that means, but the continued growth of the tight end position, which is normally your bread and butter, I don't think can be ignored. Like these guys are making themselves invaluable and it's pushing guys like Jelani Thurman to continue to improve. Max Clare, what he provides, what Will Kazmarek, like the whole group is really, really special. But there's of all the positions where a freshman makes an impact, it never happens.
That would have been the last place that I projected.
And
because do you know why? You have to be able to block a defensive end.
Yeah.
You have to be able to
catch like a receiver.
Uh-huh. And you have to be able to run block and pass protect all at the same time.
And he's doing it. And I don't know where that goes from here, but Nate Roberts has made himself into a guy where Bennett Christian's out on Saturday, and the first text message I get is from someone saying, oh, tight end three today is Nate Roberts. And I'm like, well, huh, interesting. But that, now, what does that mean down the road? Who knows? But it is encouraging to see Ohio State, and it's something that Adam King said on Talking Tuesday on the beat with you, Austin, is that this program seems more and more willing to just play the guy who's the best player. And Nate Roberts is the highest ranked Ohio State tight end since Jeremy Ruckert on the recruiting front. And now he's showing up and showing out. So he deserves a lot of credit. And again, not just for like learning his position, but coming in here and doing something totally different to make himself valuable. Like Brian Hartline did a great job on Tuesday talking about his desire for Brandon Ennis to do something better than the guy next to him, and how the room and the philosophy of the wide receiver room is separate yourself, make yourself a difference.
Do something that other guys can't
or won't
or haven't done yet.
And Nate Roberts is doing that.
Yeah. And look, I want to reiterate, Brandon Ennis is doing that too.
Yeah.
Now, could that require some sort of change on special teams? Of course.
Yeah, no one's catching the ball on the punts.
Because I don't want to talk about another set of issues on special teams on Stockwatch, because I feel like I'm doing that too much, and I've been doing it for a decade, and I'm losing my mind.
I think that I would like to do a poll, informal. Who is more frustrated hearing you talk about punt returns, you or America?
I'm tired of talking about it. If they're more tired of hearing me talk about it, then something must be done.
Something wrong. So are you taking Brandon Ennis?
I want to encourage holding on Brandon Ennis. I don't think that.
Yeah, don't give up on Brandon Ennis in this offense. Like, there's a role.
So I just think I'm more confused by the criticism, because I've been asked about it, hearing it, seeing it a lot more, and no receiver wants to go through a game and wind up with zero targets. And, you know, I there have been maybe the punt returns and the issues there have exacerbated that conversation about what his role is on offense, or if he's not been explosive enough. That the 28-yard punt return showed that he still has that athleticism and the speed and the elusiveness. There have been other opportunities where Ohio State has got him involved in different ways. And the number that I looked at, and it's not, you can make whatever stat you want to fit whatever narrative you want. There were, if you're going to be the third target in Ohio State's passing attack, which Brandon Ennis is,
and
I think he still is. I mean, you have pointed out that the tight ends have taken a step up and running backs have been involved. Like, I still think that Brandon Ennis over the course of the year is going to be more involved than Max Clair or Will Kazmir. Maybe I'll be wrong about that, but I still think that's true. But even if we just say the third wide receiver, which he's definitely that, you know, there were five games last year where Carnell Tate had two catches or fewer, two or one catch. That's just the way it works.
And Jeremiah Smith had one catch in the national semifinal.
But and that can be determined by the game plan, which I think is important to keep in mind. Like, Brandon Ennis had three catches and two catches in the first two games. You look at five over three games. If one of those is a touchdown against Ohio, would we be having the same conversation? I posit that we probably would not. But all the other things that Brandon Ennis does, and I can understand if people want to see more explosiveness from the slot, or they want to see the bigger plays, and that would validate some of the way that you and I have both talked about Brandon Ennis. In terms of statistical production, he has not looked like the number one wide receiver in the country like he was coming out of high school as a recruit. But in terms of actual value inside this building where we're standing right now, there's no loss of confidence, faith, desire to get him involved in any way whatsoever. He's going to continue to block when he's not getting the football. He's going to continue to run routes. There's going to be opportunities where Julian Sain does see him break free the way he did in the red zone on Saturday against Ohio and hits him for an easy touchdown. And there's going to be games when he's simply not going to be a factor in the passing attack at all. That's okay.
Yeah,
it's not an indictment of his ability.
Well, Brian Hartline on Tuesday said, you could have 11 catches and a bunch of missed assignments, and it's not good football. So Brandon Ennis,
the stat line he gave was pretty specific to a player in the game on Saturday.
I didn't actually hear the number he said. So
I'm wondering if it was – is it a no-accident situation? Because
I'll have to go back and listen to the tape. But
check the tape. Cut that tape.
Most coaches don't say things by accident around here. So we've got a couple buy stocks. We've got a couple. We got a hold stock.
I'm holding, yeah.
This is not a stock play so much as a stock discussion. How much stock are we putting into the discussion about the stock of Tywan Malone? Because Ryan Day on Tuesday did not shy away from like praising Tywan Malone and what he accomplished in his time on the field on Saturday.
Said he graded out as a champion.
So I'm stumbling over this because I'm not sure the best way to say it. Are we truly of the mindset of the belief that Tywan Malone has closed that gap on Edrick Houston so much that they decided Edrick was not going to play the first quarter? And I know Ryan Day said, yeah, I saw we rolled him in there. We were rolling. That is coach speak, because he didn't want to answer whatever was the actual reason for putting Edrick Houston behind Tywan Malone. But what are the odds? Let's just play it this way. What are the odds that Tywan Malone is out there first rep against Washington? Because I don't personally believe that that's going to happen.
I would say 10 to 1.
Like, but it is also hard to ignore that
he... Okay, so what is our stance on this show? There are no accidents. Okay? If we're going to live by our mantra and Ryan Day is saying that Tywan Malone graded out as a champion, then we have to say that he has potentially put himself to earn that opportunity. The reason that, so you're taking the comments, but we're also going to have to use our eyes. In the third quarter, when they went back out there with the starting unit, who was out there?
When it was 13-9, who was out there?
Edrick Houston and Caden McDonald.
Right.
So I would be still surprised if they did that again. We don't know whether it was related to the penalties against Grambling, the two offsides penalties that Edrick Houston had, some other internal matter. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on it beyond that. Like, those are the only three options. It's that they are really convinced that Tywan Malone is pushing. It was a penalty, 1 week sort of disciplinary matter, or something else that we have no idea what that would be, and we have no reporting on that.
Which would seem very out of character.
Which, for exactly one quarter worth of work, I don't really know how that applies.
Yeah.
So out of those, I'm leaning towards still this being a reflection of the penalties and a message to a young player who's still growing. Because also, like, Edrick hasn't, when we talk about, you know, Brandon Ennis not looking like the five-star, like, in terms of actual on-field production through three games, Edrick hasn't done any of the things that you and I thought that he would so far.
No, he has not been as dominant as we would have thought, especially lined up next to Caden McDonald. But, like, the silver lining here is that if Tywan Malone is taking that opportunity and elevating himself, then great. Like, then it's really good for everyone.
But, it just, to me, I don't want to, I'm sorry to interrupt, but like, the coaching staff and the no accidents part, we're living by that. When I'm watching it, it feels like teams are specifically seeing if 95 is at the game and that's where they want to run. And maybe I'm focusing too much on the negative and not the rest of the other snaps, but like, when there's been success and there's been conversation about Ohio State's rush defense, it feels like that there's been a correlation.
Yeah, well, this is one of the challenges now that Ohio State doesn't publicly release the champions every week like they used to, because we don't know where Edrick Houston has been in the grading situation. We don't know what his grade was on Saturday despite not playing the first quarter. So it's hard to, like, really stack him up apples to apples. But, again, when it's 13-9 in the third quarter, Edrick's the guy out there.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things where I'm like,
so what are your odds then?
I don't know, like 5-1 maybe. Mm-hmm. I think it's closer than the 10-1, because Ohio State is pretty conservative when it comes to grading people out as champions. And traditionally, at least a lot of other positions are. I don't know exactly how Larry Johnson's grading it, so that is also a challenge. But I don't think it's a coincidence that Tywan started. There's a reason he did. But the fact that he then went and graded out a champion is a positive.
Yeah.
So, like, that is – the Buckeyes need to be better up front. They need to have a more stout defensive line. And if you can pull along Tywan Malone, whether that's the carrot or the stick for Edrick, everyone learns different. Everyone gets motivated different. Good. But I'm interested to see what happens there moving forward. So
yeah, I think it's one of the more fascinating –
There's not a lot of personnel areas on this team that we have
uncertainty. There's a handful, but it was also right about improvement week a year ago where Ohio State walked into some meeting rooms and said, Edric Houston needs to be on the field.
Right.
And then it took off. And like the messages, the coaching, they're all going to be different. Like, I don't think that there's any question in my mind, even if Tywan Malone is coming along and if I'm taking it at face value, what Ryan Day and the coaching staff is saying and champion grade and all that, that's great if the depth is rising.
Yeah.
The ceiling is still with Edric Houston reaching his true potential.
And if we go back to a year ago, Edric got those opportunities in games and then had dumb penalties and then cost himself some opportunities. So we'll see if that's a recurring theme. But I think the ultimate result of it is that the rising tide will lift all the boats here.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no negative. It doesn't make any difference to me or you who is doing it. Someone just has to meet the standard because I'm told that it's the standard.
The standard is the standard. Fact check, true.
All right, that's important to keep in mind. And those are the latest stocks to monitor here on The Beat, a Wednesday with Jeremy Birmingham and me, Austin Ward. Thursday, that's right, it'll be three thoughts.
After three games.
It won't be from in front of the Woody Hayes Athletic Center because no media availability, so no snap judgments later on. So three thoughts Thursday will be the next time you hear from us. And then we have a Freaky Friday. That is going to be a mailbag. The Austin and Berm Show at gmail.com if you want to send us in a question for that. The Austin and Berm Show at gmail.com. We'll tackle all of that as improvement week, off week, idle week, shenanigans roll along. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We appreciate you very much for joining us for 97.1 The Fan, 10TV, 10TV Plus, Apple, Spotify, anywhere. Thanks again for watching and listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.